Welcome back, friends. Sarah and I were discussing, really what we're really discussing is the identity of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's going to immediately reveal to us who we are. If we're baptized, sons and daughters of His. And we left off with this concept of knowing. Because I had made a brief caveat that God, who's infinite, we as finite creatures, we can't know His totality. Sarah rightly points out, especially with the coming of His Son, we do have an incredible amount of knowledge, enough real and true and factual knowledge so as to enter into relationship. Because you're right, she is exactly right. If you don't know someone, you can't love them. You can't enter, you just can't. So Christ, He reveals the Father to us, but He also reveals by His own life, death, and resurrection, He reveals us to our own selves as well. Sarah, did you want to, is that a fair summary? Do you want to add?
The only, into that also, I would only like to insert the fact that obviously God's love precedes our love. So when we know that we can love Him, you know, it's that old little children's song, you know, hey, Sarah, do you love Jesus? Yes, I love Jesus. Tell me why you love Jesus. This is why I love Jesus, because He first loved me. And so insofar as obviously our mind, you know, it's an amazing thing. The human imagination is not capable of a complete knowledge of God, insofar as obviously He's divine and we are human, but our imagination is capable of extending to the limits of understanding the potentiality of a divinity, even if our reason cannot grasp what He is. And I think it's very much similar to the way that a child can love a mom and a dad, right? I mean, can they know the mom and dad? No, I mean, it takes a very, very long process of many, many years for a child to grow from a childlike love of a mother and father, which is, you know, bordering on hero worship, as it were, right? To a mature love where one can reasonably love the person despite faults and defects, right? We come to a matureness of that love. And that takes a long period of time. And I think the same is somewhat true of our life in knowing God and turning to Him in love, as it were, in the same way that our parents bestowed love on us, which opened us to to loving them in return. We have a similar relationship with God, that although He's not immediately knowable, we certainly grow in knowledge of Him the more that we love Him. And the more that we love Him, the more that we become like Him. And it's this constant, you know, revolving door of loving Him more, becoming more like Him, loving Him more, becoming more like Him, because in the end, caritas, right, we know that faith, hope, and love, those three supernatural graces, the only one that remains is love, because we will be like Him, and God is love.
That's exactly right. And I like the way you brought in, because our love of parents, because that is where for either good or for ill, we learn what it is to love with our parent relationship. And I think it is one of the, it's not something I think, it is something I know. I think God the Father is a relationship that is really, really difficult for many people to enter into. And when they have the more severe the distortion is with their concept of God the Father, the more distorted, of course, then their understanding of who God is, what love is, and then how that love is going to be manifest not only towards themselves, but towards others, if marriage, friends, children, and so forth and so on. And I think for those who had a difficult relationship with father, or perhaps their father just wasn't there because they died young or something, so they have this father wound, I think that that is something that really must be soberly considered, and make sure that we have this a correct understanding. So Sarah said that God is love. Whether we're sinners or we're saints, whether we're doctors of the church, whether we're not, infants, newborns, God loves us. He can do nothing but love us. God is love. He's pure act. He doesn't get mad with us today and not be mad tomorrow, because he loves us. He continuously has a presence of love towards us. It's we who realize when we've done wrong, we're falling away. That's where our problems, God's angry or God's wrathful, the wrath of God or that sort of thing. That's, again, that's coming in to behaviors we perhaps have engaged in to make us feel that he's being wrathful, but he loves us. He's always calling each and every one of us to love. And when Sarah was saying that Christ, he only did what he saw the Father do. He is absolutely, till the end of time, our very best understanding of what the heart of God is. And he was always about calling the lost sheep, always about healing. He healed all those who were brought to him, going in search of the woman at the well, calling her back to relationship, restore. And that restoration is where the healing of those wounds perhaps begin. And it's really the foundation of how our relationship should be with one another. Who we are as sons and daughters of God. That's our identity, is our relationship with Christ. And to the extent that that is this strong, will bring us into right relationship with ourselves, right relationship with God.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt, and it's probably, frankly, always been the case, but seems to be more pervasive now, because when we look at the popular culture, family, I think more than at any other time, is disparaged and is condemned, because on earth it's not perfect. There we are at a very critical point right now where we demand perfection of all of our institutions, all of our past leaders, and there is very little by way of compassion for human foibles, right? And what is not perceived to be perfect is condemned. And so we are in a situation right now where, unlike in the vast majority of other times, the family itself is under a radical attack. And so all kinds of other things are being brought up as an image of the family. And once all kinds of other relational engagements become placed at the level of the family, then what should be something that is recognizable as familial love, or that love, the love of the father for the child and the filial love for the child to the father, is becoming lost, because there is no order anymore. And out of that order, we're in a situation of disorder, and I would say that we are also in a process of I don't know what the opposite of love would be. It's certainly not hate that we are experiencing, but perhaps apathy is what we are coming to, that people are no longer going to be able to, since they're not able to know one another, because we don't have these family relationships, and things are becoming less joined as a result of that, that unknowableness is going to make everyone move from love to apathy to solitude in some sense, but not a good solitude, a loneliness, a very, which is, and God said, you know, very, very early in scriptures that it's not good for man to be alone. And yet, and maybe part of the reason why he says that then is because he recognizes that man alone is man outside of love, right? And so, because for love, there must be relationship. Okay. And if man is alone, then he is outside of relationship. And so really, it's, I think that we have an obligation to really help people grow in an authentic understanding of maybe what John Paul II would talk about, that familial relationship that exists within the Trinity, and bringing back that authentic familial relationship into our own personal relationships, where we do recognize the goodness of the Father, the goodness of the Son, and the beauty of the love that joins them as one. And I think that that's one of the areas kind of where we're getting lost in our paucity of words, as it were. You know how you went back to the pie roots of love. It is very, very interesting that we in the English language have so few words for love, right? I remember when my husband and I got married, actually, our priest talked about how many words that the Eskimos had just for snow, right? And for water, for ice, something that falls from the sky. And it's an incredible amount. I don't remember anymore. And he said, but we have only one word for love. And we use it because we're human beings and we're capable of understanding nuance, we know that we don't mean the same thing that when we say, I love pizza, or I love my cat, or I love my dog, or I love my sister, or I love my husband. We're capable of having an understanding of the nuances that are obviously present in each one of those types of love. But that's because we did know what love meant, right? But now we are coming to an ignorance level where we don't understand those relational loves. And we can really see that there is starting to be a disorder in our understanding of love when there are certain people now who say, I love my cat. And they really mean no distinguishing between how they love their cat and how they love their brother, right? We're seeing this condensing of nuance. And we're suffering now because of this paucity of language. And I think one of the books that I would recommend people to look at least to give a cursory glance at, is The Four Loves that C.S. Lewis looks at. I mean, you can go back to the Greek roots, the Aristotelian roots of what are the four loves. But it does at least give us a starting point of more language that we can use when we're trying to define what we're speaking of.
All right. And with that, my friends, till the next time, fides et ratio.